hard into the feet. Like, I'll tell you later.
The conference committee will come to order. Quiet, please. I didn't visualize it. It's late, members. We're going to finish this very quickly, and we're just going to work on, I think we have about 5 or 6 amendments and maybe 1 oral amendment that I'm aware of, and I'm hoping that this is all ready to roll and that we don't need a lot of discussion, a lot of speeches. Let's just get this done. All right, I think we should start. I'd like to ask Council to just go through the various amendments, and perhaps we should start with the A. Sure, we can get that in front of us. It doesn't really matter. What do you think?
Adopt the big amendment, which is a deleted.
Madam Chair.
A30.
Representative Kalin moves adoption of the A30 delete all amendment.
So moved.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. All right, let's go through the A31 amendment, please. Mr. Eloff and Mr. Fuller.
Oh, this is. Yep. Oh, this one.
I'll do this one. You can do the rest.
Okay.
You want to do them all if you want.
No, it's quite all right.
Madam Chair, A31 is...
Is everybody... I'm sorry, excuse me. Does members of the audience have the amendments yet? Let's make sure... Okay, let's...
Madam Chair, this is the A31.
I'm just going to ask staff to hand out the rest of the amendments as soon as this one's handed out so that we don't have a lag time. So if you could go ahead and hand out the rest of the amendments, thank you, as you're able. All right. Let's make sure everybody grabs one. Go ahead and hand out the rest, please.
That's yours.
Mr. Fuller, I think you can start, please.
Madam Chair, A31 amendment, I'll go on the lines on the left on the amendment when I explain it. 1.3 is simply a technical head note change. 1.4 to 1.5 addresses the situation that there aren't ENERGY STAR guidelines for energy efficient windows, which is the defined term this is amending, so there aren't for the commercial installations. So we're saying that equivalent standards should apply to those windows. Otherwise, they wouldn't qualify as a defined window for replacement, and the intention is to replace some non-residential windows. On 1.6 is technical that the stimulus funds expenditures have to comply not only with the Stimulus Act, but with other federal law and regulations, which is would be the case anyway. 1.7 to 1.8 amends a requirement that bidders participate in apprenticeship programs, to include other training programs. 1.9 is a technical amendment, punctuation. 1.10 is technical, except on 1.11 it clarifies that you can do electric, solar, electric, and thermal projects under one of the CNI programs, and it's not covered by another amendment that's going to define solar. Lines 12 to 16 are all part of the same amendment. 14 and 15 provide sort of the Minnesota preference offer, and it does the extent to one of the criteria in making grants would be the extent to which proposal uses parts manufactured, produced in the state in the assembly of a final product, and there's no other Minnesota preference in the delete all. Line 17 adds district energy projects because it was an oversight, combined heat and energy, and district energy projects were supposed to be combined everywhere they appeared. It was dismissed in that spot. Lines 18 to 19 have to do with the return of the city of Kennedy in actual name to a proposal rather than describing it, because it saves, it's a sensible thing to do in terms of making the grant. 1.20 has to do with the solar installation and the requirements there. I think that's what that is. Let's look.
Just double check.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the things that are required of contracts, grants, loans, or other financial assistance for solar photovoltaic installations. Instead of being absolute, it is if it's practicable to comply with prevailing wage and some of the other requirements that we imposed on the activities of those installers. Line 21 and 22 makes consistent between the two CI programs that facilities not only owned by governments and others can also be owned by a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Those facilities can be eligible for grants under both CNI programs. Again, on 23 and 24, it's just putting that phrase for combined heat and power or district energy system projects. It was an oversight there. And then on 1234, let's see what that is. 1234 is. That's a CNI program, and it's the original Senate one, and it makes it clear that grants can't be made for projects under that program for combustion of mixed municipal solid waste or refuse-derived fuel from mixed municipal solid waste. And on line 28, that's a technical amendment. There was an inaccurate reference to a section of the bill in an appropriation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fuller. And I believe that this amendment should, well, we still have another one that reflects some changes that the department wanted, but this is, except for the training money and those related changes, this reflects a lot of the concerns that the department had and a couple of other cleanup items. So, Representative Kalin, are you going
to? I'll move the A31 amendment.
Representative Kalin has moved the A31 amendment. Are there questions, discussion on the amendment? All right, hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. All right, should we do the second one from the department, which is the A33 on the training dollars?
Sure.
Is there any left for that one?
Sure.
He's trying to keep us all easy.
Chair, the A33 amendment is amending language in Articles 5 and 6 on line 1.3. It requires the commissioner, in conjunction with DEED and Office of Higher Education and Minnesota State Colleges and Universities, not only to develop a plan and procedures, but also to implement plan and procedures for training and workforce development, which sounds like a very good idea. On line 1.4 deletes some language, and the new language says that those plans and procedures are to train energy professionals directly. It's just just some wording changes here. On page line 1.6 through 1.8 is allocating stimulus funding for specific kinds of training, providing energy code compliance and enforcement training necessary to comply with Section 410 of the ARRA Act. And the dollar changes in lines 1.9 to 1.12 are transferring some money that we'll talk about in a later amendment to provide funding to prepare low-income persons for residential weatherization jobs and also support job training opportunities for low-income income persons in residential and commercial efficiency and renewable energy-related trades. And those changes in dollar amounts reflect the funds reallocated to those purposes.
Madam Chair,
Representative
Kim. Ms. Julia, my understanding is that the line 11 increases the total SEP allocation to training from the $1 million for the low-income alone to another $1.5 million as requested by the department.
Yes.
So, okay. We have a lot of training going on. Hopefully we have the requisite amount of work to make it happen. So, Madam Chair, I'll move the A33 amendment.
All right. On the A33 amendment, I'm just checking the numbers here.
Let me just make one quick inquiry.
Senator Dill.
What is going to, Madam Chair, Representative Kaelin, what is it going to cost per person to train? In other words, the $2.5 million is going to train how many people?
That's a good question. We could ask.
Madam Chair,
Senator
Dill, that's actually been my question from the beginning. And so I don't know that we've... I'm convinced that we have enough information to know that we need to allocate some funds to it. And I think that this number is an accurate number generally, but what we do know is that there's a great need and there are great bottlenecks out in the... especially in the energy efficiency world and in solar... installations, the solar designers and engineers, as well as the other actual installation, that there's great need and great bottlenecks there, and I think that this plan and the flexibility will be enough. So it has to be cost effective. They have to stretch as hard as they possibly can. So,
Madam Speaker, do you need your members? Is that why you're just coming to join us? Oh, no, you can't have
them. I'm just checking in on you.
All right, well, welcome to our conference.
I have Brian and an update on the Tigers Twins game. It's still tied, everyone. So.
Ooh, well, if
it's not, maybe you want to see the end of it.
We only have four more amendments.
Okay, oh, good.
We'll go see the rest of it shortly.
Good, great. I'll get out of here.
Okay. I understand we're under call.
We're under call. Yeah.
So, does that mean you'll be coming back?
Hopefully. I imagine we are voting on voter ID. So we will suffer through that and get back as soon as we absolutely possibly can.
I'm going to ask someone to answer the question about numbers, and then we can take a recess. Does anybody have a number on how much training costs? Can anybody answer that really briefly?
Nothing.
Who would like to address the question? Mr. DeFebri.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. This is, of course, somewhat off the top of our heads. I would be surprised if just on the energy code training between contractors and code enforcement officials that we, over the two-year period, if we don't reach at least 500 within training sessions, I'd be surprised.
You said 500 people that would be trained?
At least 500, and quite possibly more. I'm trying to be...
With 1.5 million.
No, that's just one component of it. There's we're talking solar installers, wind installers. We're looking at doing training for residential contractors, remodelers. So ultimately, if we don't, outside of the low income training requirements, I would presume
2,000.
A rough idea of in the range of maximum of $500 per trained individual out of that 1.5 million. And that's looking at a low number.
Ms. Streff?
Madam Chair, my name is Janet Streff with the State Energy Office, and I have been working with DEED and MNSCU already to look at the training needs that are expected for short-term training, for long-term training, for 4-year colleges. So we're looking at architects and engineers to be brought up to date to the new code that's coming into effect, the commercial code, June 1st. We're coming into a new residential code June 1st as well. And training needs to be done on that. The building contractors also need to be trained on that, and they have started some of their training. There's no doubt about that. But the language in the ARA Section 410 does require us to ensure that our energy code is equal to or greater than the most recent codes. And we have done some analysis, and we think it's equal, but there's more analysis to be done as well. And so there's some funds in that $1.5 million to do the analysis of the two codes and ensure that they come up to that. And then this requirement that we bring 90% enforcement of both the residential code and the commercial code up to 90% of the state is a large requirement. And so it's not just one training that we're thinking about doing for one area and one group. It's going to be multiple trainings. It's going to be working through various groups. I don't have a dollar figure, and I don't even have the number of training sessions that we need to have, because MNSCU and DEED and our office and others are just starting to sit down to work together to figure out what are all the areas. I mean, there's the whole energy code, but then there is. What do we need to do for training for renewable energy, windsmiths? How can we ramp up the electrical training? And none of that had been covered in any of the dollars that we had pulled together. So it's multifaceted. I'm more than happy to provide you updates on that as well. And I guess I would also say that I appreciate the flexibility that is in the language now for when a program is maybe not giving us everything we need and we need to move money around. It reminds me of the weatherization program, where if we don't use the training and technical assistance dollars, we're allowed and expected to put them into program and get more houses weatherized. And we typically do that every year. And so in some respects, I feel that this is the same way. I would appreciate having that amount of money so that we can make sure that the training is there and is implemented. And if we don't use that much, we're going to put it to those things that give us energy savings and create renewable energy.
All right, I think, Mr. Haney, briefly, we haven't heard from you, so let's hear your thoughts on training dollars briefly.
Excuse me, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Bill Haney, IBEW Minnesota State Council. Just for the record and for clarification, solar photovoltaic device is an electrical device per the National Energy Code, which requires it to be installed by a licensed electrician, which isn't a $500 program or a quickie program. It's a four-year apprenticeship program. So just for clarification.
Thank you. And I think it is really important that there is a broad range of training needs and options. And we've heard about the cost of training an energy auditor for that short program in the $600 range or something like that. So I guess there we do need to keep in mind there's a broad range of opportunities and needs at different cost levels. Thank you. All right, I think we're ready to move on. Did we adopt the A33 amendment? I don't believe we did yet.
Madam Chair.
Representative Kaelin.
Thank you. I think that we've just want to make sure that we are allocating the funds as we'd like to. And if you look on line 11 of the A33 amendment, I believe that the existing $1 million has been allocated for low-income training, and I think rather than and the reference is actually in on the A30 amendment is actually to all of Article 5, I believe.
Yes.
And what we'd like to do is actually I'd like to make two changes.
Okay. So
the A33 amendment, so I'll incorporate these changes. The first change will be to actually delete line 11.
The amendment.
Mm-hmm. And add a new line that would be on page 17, and I'll ask staff to tell us where to put it, but it would be $1,500,000 is for training and workforce development consistent with Article 5, Section 1, which is, or, excuse me, can I have the A30 structure again? Article 5, Section 1, Subdivision 1, would be that $1.5 million. Correct. It's a higher, it's a low-income training. I wonder, it looks like Mr. Fuller was scratching that out. Article 5, Section 1, Subdivision 1.
What the new money that we're adding, the $1.5 million, would go into. We should change probably what's in the bill needs to change as well, because the appropriation says $1 million. On the top of page 17, it says $1 million for training and workforce development consistent with Article 5, and that should probably say Subdivision 2.
Yes, Madam Chair, I believe that should read. Madam Chair, I think I have this in writing with. One more line would read, on page 17, line 1, after 5, insert Section 1, Subdivision 2. So that would direct $1 million specifically from SEP funds specifically to the low-income training and workforce development, and $1.5 million not directed to any specific community for or any income level from SEP dollars for general training and workforce development. And if we could confirm that staff has that.
All right, Council, just let us know when you're ready. We're good? Any discussion? Representative Kalin will incorporate those changes in the 833 amendment. Representative Champion, did you have your hand up?
Just a point of clarification. So on page 16, line 16.10, so is that supposed to be Section 1 or is that supposed to be Section 2?
Madam Chair?
Yes, good point.
Madam Chair, I believe Mr. Eliff has prepared one last oral amendment to incorporate into the 833 amendment. Thank you, Representative Champion. On page 16, line 10, after Section 1, insert Subdivision 2. And that, again, is the specific low-income training provision. Nice catch, Representative Champion. Thank you.
All right. That will also be incorporated into the 833 amendment. Is everyone clear what we're doing? All right. Any further discussion on the 833 amendment? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Excellent. Okay. Next, we've got the why don't we do the 832 amendment?
Madam Chair, the 832 amendment refers to Articles 3 and 4 of the bill, Article 3, Renewable Energy, Article 4, Commercial and Industrial Sector Energy Projects, and it's largely designed to have one definition of renewable energy to apply to all the programs in both of those sections, and that's what takes up most of the first page of the amendment from line 1.3 down to 1.24. And as you'll see, we've defined renewable energy to include solar, wind, hydroelectric. Also, hydrothermal is in there on line 110. Hydrogen, biomass with a number of subcategories, including biomass gasification, which was from the Senate language at one point, and excluding incineration on lines 116, 17, and 18. Excluding incineration of wastewater sludge, mixed municipal solid waste, or refuse derived fuel from mixed municipal solid waste. Lines 119 to 124 reference existing statutory definitions for solar energy, solar electric, and solar thermal, and specifically to respond to a question that Representative Saylor raised yesterday, the existing definition of solar thermal covers heating of both air and water. So that would be included in that definition. On line 129, what we've done is delete the separate definitions of renewables that were in each of those sections. Line 129 does that, and line 130 does that. Line 1.31 includes geothermal heating and cooling systems as eligible for grants on page 9, line 9. Line 1.32 specifies that solar means solar electric on that line. And line 1.33 includes the solar thermal projects as eligible for the grants in that section. And again, line 1.34 deletes an existing definition of renewables that's now covered by the overall definition. Turning to page 2, lines 2.1 to 2.3 again include specifically geothermal energy systems, and also brings in businesses that manufacture components for renewable energies and energy efficiencies that are eligible for grants under that section. We substitute on lines 2.5 and 2.6 electric, meaning solar electric rather than solar photovoltaic, so that it can refer to the overall definition. And then the rest of that page is we, again, removed an existing definition of renewables in one section and just re-lettered those paragraphs.
You have to leave.
Madam Chair, we're under call again, but...
Well, why don't we just recess for a moment, and we can actually read this amendment. But he's in recess.